You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
That was the report from Boston 25 News late this morning, and a report that changed everything for fans of the New England Patriots. Good afternoon and welcome into WEEI Afternoons just after 2 o'clock here on Tuesday, December 30th, 2025. Thanks so much for being with us here on Boston Sports Original. No Andy, no Fitzy, no Ted here on this Tuesday leading up to the New Year holiday. Dan Ball with you today in the lineup for WEEI Afternoons. Joining us this afternoon, senior digital content producer Tom Carroll. You might know him as Freeze Pops. Mr. Carroll, how are you today?
You know, we're navigating this story, a little bit complicated to deal with, given that everything is accusations. And, you know, we're just trying to rifle through everything the best we can right now. So it's a huge story.
Yep.
And it has massive implications for the Patriots on the field. And we're going to figure out what's going on here over the next few days.
No doubt about that. Also on the show today, KJ Carson. KJ, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
I'm going to answer the question correctly. I'm doing well. Tom didn't even answer how he was doing, right? Like, like this is journalism, boys. And so I think what's going to be kind of interesting about today is you're going to see the behind the scenes that goes on to making sure you get these stories correct, like with Diggs, right? Like, if people only knew how busy and active our phones, our bosses, everybody's been probably all the way up to legal of making sure, boys, put on the left shoe, then put on the right shoe. So, and I'll say this, Tom, and I'll say this, Dan, is this is going to be a great lesson for those in the social space who feel like they can just wing it and then understand how one thing wrong says, we not here tomorrow, you're not here tomorrow, Ken's not here tomorrow. So it's a fascinating story. I think from a journalistic perspective, you get excited about being able to get these things correctly. And that's really all our job is to do this correctly and to not taint pools in the world, right? Yeah. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, no doubt about that. It's a great lesson in journalism, and it's a great lesson in factual information, and something that kind of that transcends sports. That isn't just X's and O's for the Patriots. So let's reset this quickly. And by the way, you can join the conversation at 617-779-7937. That's the phone number via call and via text. But keep in mind, you know, we're only dealing in the facts in this, so we're trying to be respectful in that regard as we continue to find out more information. To reset this via Boston 25 News, late this morning, the report read as follows. New England Patriots star Stephon Diggs is facing serious criminal charges. Diggs is charged with felony strangulation or suffocation and misdemeanor assault and battery stemming from an incident on Tuesday, December 2nd, a day after the Patriots thrashed the New York Giants on Monday Night Football court filing show. Diggs' attorney, Michael DeStefano, made a remote appearance in Dedham District Court on Tuesday, seeking to have the police report impounded, arguing that the details should remain sealed. DeStefano also disclosed that the court that Diggs has made a financial offer to resolve the dispute with the alleged victim in this case. A few statements have been released since that time, one from the New England Patriots that read as follows. The New England Patriots are aware of the accusations that have been made regarding Stephon Diggs. Stephon has informed the organization that he categorically denies the allegations. We support Stephon. We will continue to gather information, and we fully cooperate with the appropriate authorities and the NFL as necessary. Out of respect of all parties involved, and given that this is an ongoing legal matter, we will have no further comment at this time. The NFL was a bit more succinct in their statement that was released to Boston 25 News, saying, quote, we are aware of the matter and have been in contact with the club. We have no further comment at this time. The last of which came from Stephon Diggs' attorney, David Meyer, who shared a statement saying, quote, Stephon Diggs categorically denies these allegations. They are unsubstantiated, uncorroborated, and were never investigated because they did not occur. The timing and motivation for making the allegations is crystal clear. They are the direct result of an employee-employer financial dispute that was not resolved to the employee's satisfaction. Stephon looks forward to establishing the truth in a court of law. So that is what came from late this morning. Tom Carroll, we know that there have been developments. You were down in the area and have been following this, as you do so well for WEEI.com. There's a story that we can point you to on the website. But what's the latest? What else are you following in this story right now?
Yeah, so we're looking at the story written for WEEI.com by Scott McLaughlin. We have an update to it saying that the judge released an incident report from Tuesday afternoon. In it, the victim alleges that Diggs and the victim exchanged text messages over money. The victim claims Diggs owed them. The victim was working as a private chef for Diggs. The victim alleges the dispute escalated to a physical altercation and that Diggs smacked the victim in the face and choked them with an elbow around the neck. Diggs' attorney, David Meyer, released the following statement that Dan read on the air, categorically denying everything from that court report, the public information from the Dedham District Court.
And what the audience is hearing is how things get filtered correctly all through chains before what is being said, right? Because all three of us have read the information.
Right.
But we are following chains of commands that are protecting not only ourselves, but our company, people who are tied with us and everything. So it's just best to just, you know, I think really probably the football question is, could the NFL really make a decision before Sunday's game, with it being a holiday? Like, does the NFL still make these decisions and hand them down on like January 1st, right? I think that's really kind of the weird perspective of this is like, hey, are the offices open to make this decision? And if they are, when is that decision coming down? And you would figure what's today, Tuesday in the world? So you have maybe you got to make a decision in a day, and you would ask, would that be fair to make a decision in one day?
It's a fair question to ask, and it all comes down to a question that we don't know the answer to, which is what is the barrier of information that the NFL needs to see cleared in order to make a decision on this? Because it comes down to the same thing, KJ, that you teed up off the top of the show. Are you dealing in allegations? Are you dealing in reports, or are you dealing in the facts? And if the NFL is going off of allegations, then there may be something that comes down right away based on what Tom was reading, some of the incident report information that came out. But until the arraignment, which is currently scheduled for late January, there's also Friday, January 23rd is when the arraignment is scheduled for Stephon Diggs. There's also currently a petition in there to push it out until the month of March. So that's really where I think, to me, KJ, that decision comes down to is, are you dealing with the incident report information, and is that enough, or are you waiting for the action for it to go into court? Are you waiting for the arraignment to happen? There are so many different elements that go into a decision like that.
Go ahead, Tom.
So I think it's important to note, and John Lyons mentioned this on the show earlier, that arraignment date, sometimes those do get moved.
Yes.
So it'll be interesting to see sort of how that all navigates over the coming weeks here. It's important to note that the Patriots are sticking behind Stephon Diggs,
right,
and they are supporting their number one receiver here, saying that one of their team leaders, it's an accusation is what they're calling it. That's how they framed it in their statement. So I think it's important to kind of continue using that language, and it's an innocent until proven guilty situation, even with those accusations being as serious as they are.
I think it's a slippery slope a little bit to try and tie the current, and again, it can be changed, the current indictment date to anything involving where the Patriots may be at that time. I think because it involves a victim and a subject, I think we should always kind of keep in mind that, you know, these things can be heard, and because this is a public forum, sometimes these things can be used in a court of law.
Right.
So this is the difference between when you can get on your podcast equipment that you got for Christmas and just start, you know, yelling whatever you want through the YouTube. We can't do that. You know, we can read the indictment and still go, the way I may even say that inflection wise may potentially be used as evidence because we are on federal airwaves. I don't care what people think what we do. Like, if they wanted to play poker music tomorrow, that's great. But if we don't run EBS tests and get things factually correct, we're all in trouble. So, again, I think for me, just where does it stand is, how does the NFL make a decision about Stephon Diggs in 2 days? I think the organization made the absolute 100% correct statement. Based on what I read, it is an allegation, right? So I'm just wondering, how does this play, especially when guess who's sitting at NFL headquarters? Roger Goodell and this franchise. That is my concern right now. Like, how do you come to a definitive decision about whether Stephon Diggs plays Sunday when you've got a holiday on Friday? Is the office closed? Do you talk to legal people? Maybe our powers that be could get someone from NFL office and find out, like, hey, is somebody in the office to make a decision on January 1st, or is this a legal holiday and nobody's going to be there, but yet someone's going to be handing out a decision? That's something I would want to know.
What we do know right now is that as far as the Patriots media availability goes over the next few days, mm-hmm. we have Mike Vrabel scheduled to talk to the media at 1:10 tomorrow. That is his normal weekly Wednesday press conference. And my guess is that what Vrabel will say tomorrow is going to echo a lot of what we saw in that statement. That statement from the Patriots doesn't get put out unless everyone is on board with how they're going to be handling that moving forward. After Vrabel talks tomorrow, there is a player media availability in the locker room. Mm-hmm. That's typically when Steph Diggs talks to the media every week. He does a scrum at his locker, and I'll be curious to see if he is made available tomorrow. That is something to monitor over the next couple days. And then the rest of the week, it looks like a regular media schedule here. Normal media set for Thursday with Jeremy Springer and Josh McDaniels speaking in the afternoon. And then Friday, again, Vrabel set to talk at 1:10.
Okay.
So all normal availability at the moment here from the Patriots. No sort of special press conferences or anything like that set. And again, my gut is that what you saw in that statement is going to be what is said repeatedly here over the next few days.
And KJ, you mentioned too that you would not, I should say. I wanted to give you a chance to expand on that a bit.
Because things are so raw. And again, keep in mind, you mentioned that Vrabel will be out at 1 tomorrow. That's 1:00 New Year's Eve. Do you believe that the NFL would have been able to let Vrabel know what they're thinking or what they're going to do or not do? Because if that's the last availability, he should at least be able to have the opportunity to explain. Well, not explain. Let me pull that back. Discuss an overview of where the league came down on a decision, pro or negative. And I just don't think it gives a lot of time. So why I would not have Steph Diggs in the locker room for the availability is because it's a raw legal matter that just came down today. I mean, it just came down today. And I think the last thing you'd want to have is any type of information or false narrative put on Steph Diggs just because we're in a visual realm, right? So Steph Diggs could say nothing, but his facial expressions then lead to all this interpretation. We're in this interpretation stage of media where I would not want him to be put through that. Plus, even though it's not related to the case, his brother just got released from the Cowboys just like 30 minutes ago.
Right.
So there's a lot of things personally going on with Stephon Diggs and the Diggs family right now. I would not want him to potentially be in a situation where he may feel like he needs to lash out to protect himself, where it may endanger himself even further. Just let the team handle it from there. I think it just should be that. I know we're media and we probably want to talk to him, but what is he going to tell us? He ain't going to tell us anything that we personally read. We're not going to ask him anything we've read. So what is there to really talk about to discuss?
617, and we'll find that out from you at 617-779-7937. And your point is well taken that there's no reason to open up a member of your organization to undue criticism, or not even undue criticism, because this is obviously an ongoing matter, but give them the opportunity to speak without proper representation, because yes, that those are the kind of situations where things are made worse. Just to establish a quick timeline for those that are still just catching up on this. Again, if you're just joining us, Stephon Diggs facing criminal charges right now, charged with felony strangulation or suffocation and misdemeanor assault and battery, stemming from an incident that happened again on Tuesday, December 2nd. That was right after the Patriots and Giants game going into the bye week. The official incident report was begun on December the 16th, 2025 by the individual in question, who we then did learn had a business relationship with Stephon Diggs, was the personal chef of Diggs for this season. And the incident report, the information that was given, that the incident that happened was based on payment that was not received for a given week in the midst of, or at the beginning of November, I should say. And that is where all of this kind of came from. So that begins on December 2nd. We're now sitting here on December 30th. That is the length of time with which that has gone on between the first incident that happened and where we sit here today with the information coming out via Boston 25 late in the morning. There's plenty more that we're going to get to on this as it relates to the New England Patriots, who just locked up their first AFC East title since 2019. That was the story that we had coming out of the day on Sunday into Monday. Coming from Monday into Tuesday, the conversation was, whoa, Drake May's MVP odds just jumped and changed completely based on Monday Night Football. And that was where I thought that the conversation related to the Patriots was going to go today. But things, of course, have changed completely. The implications for the New England Patriots on the football side of things, we'll get into that. Plus your phone calls at 617-779-7937. Continuing to discuss information regarding Stephon Diggs and the allegations that came out earlier today. We'll get to all of that after Josh Bracken gets you caught up on what's trending.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Back here on WEEI Afternoons, Dan Ball, Tom Carroll, KJ Carson with you. Up until 5 o'clock, we have coverage of bowl season in college football via ESPN Radio coming up at 5 o'clock today. Again, we're continuing to discuss what is currently going on involving Patriots wide receiver Stephon Diggs. Has been charged with a few things that came out late this morning via Boston 25 News. And KJ, I want to work in the side of the New England Patriots because looking back before we move forward, the most recent information that we had on Stephon Diggs, the football player, was the kind of not even to call it a breakout game, because that may be a bit of a misrepresentation of the season he's had, but
right.
had a handful of games where the targets weren't necessarily there, even to the point where people were wondering, is this being done on purpose? But the most recent information we had about Stephon Diggs, the football player, was a fantastic performance amidst a beleaguered group of wide receivers against the New York Jets this weekend.
Well, this is what I thought would happen, right, is that the ingenious of Drake May this season is that he hasn't depended on Steph Diggs from day one, right? That's why I said, hey, don't play Steph Diggs in the preseason. You know what he can do. You've seen his pedigree in the NFL. You don't want to start tipping your hand what a young quarterback may lean into. I figured you would start to see that. That's why I said, start of the season, I clearly thought Steph Diggs would get over 80 receptions. I didn't think he'd get to 100, but it's a good thing he's not getting to 100 because he's not being depended on. So literally, we're now getting into kind of like peak Steph Diggs season, right, according to what Drake May wants to do. And so, yes, you're absolutely right. He was just starting to hit his stride. I never saw it as a indictment of his performance, right, because how can you indict somebody when you're on a 9, 10 game winning streak?
Right.
Nobody's being indicted, especially if you're putting up tons of points, taking 21-point leads, stuff like that. So I never thought there was any slowness of what Steph Diggs was able to do, because the team was doing what it needed to do. What Steph Diggs has been able to do is show what Steph Diggs has done in key moments of the season, and that's happening now. And I think that's what makes this so tough, is because we're not talking about a player who's been failing on the field, missing practices, injured for an extended period of time. It's been the complete opposite, and that's why I think this is such a jolt of what's come out today.
Yeah, and KJ, to echo your point there, it wasn't like the last few weeks were a breakout per se,
right?
But it was showing how important Diggs is to this offense. Like, you don't win that game in Baltimore without Stephon Diggs. You're going to win in New York without Stephon Diggs. Mm-hmm. The Jets are maybe one of the worst football teams I've ever seen.
They might have won if you suited up, if I'm being completely honest with you.
Or you might have paid more attention to Stephon Diggs if that's what the tape was showing that's what Drake May was doing, right? Like, leading up to, I would always say, hey, teams are really keeping an eye on Mac Hollins because this guy is getting crucial balls at crucial times, more so than a Hunter Henry, right? Now it's Steph Diggs. So, yeah, I think it was more of kind of like Steph Diggs is now being used the way they want to use him more often.
And that's exactly my point as it relates to the Jets game. It's like they were going to win that game without Diggs, but it was showing you how moving forward in the postseason that this was the type of guy he was going to be. I mean, that Moss catch that he had on the sidelines, that's one of the best catches in the NFL all season. Mm. So regardless of, you know, what we find out here over the next few days, as it relates to football, his status is incredibly crucial to what this team is able to do over the next month or so. He's by far and away the best weapon that Drake May has in his arsenal. And I would, it's going to be incumbent on everyone else on that offense to now step up in a way that I'm not sure they're capable of without Stephon Diggs in the mix.
Especially given the...
If he's not in the mix.
Right, given the fact that I think the other of the most reliable receivers that Drake May developed a relationship this season with, Mac Hollins, is done for at least four games, or three additional games to this, and that's at the very least of when he can be activated and start to enter his window for return. And I caught this out of the corner of my eye from the text line, pivoting to discuss the football side of this. And again, you can join the conversation via call and via text at 617-779-7937. I understand that adding in the football element, the X's and O's side of what is a very serious situation going on the personal side for Stephon Diggs is unconventional in that sense, but we are here on a sports radio station, and the fact of the matter is that Stephon Diggs is a face of the New England Patriots, and the New England Patriots are right now still in the midst of their season. So in addition to the fact that, KJ, you know, this is a very serious private matter, and right, there are a public matter now, we should,
right,
say, in
public,
his private,
right,
life, there are football implications to this, and that is why it catches the eye of a sports radio host and a sports radio audience in that regard.
Well, I think it's also part of the responsibility portion of it, right? Like, you just can't whistle past the proverbial graveyard like this doesn't happen and just be like, you know, like, I really am concerned about Devon Achane this weekend,
right,
versus the, you know, and right, like, that's part of the conversation, but that's the given, like in the geometry problem. But this is why we get paid and things show up in direct deposits, is because I think at some point during the show, we probably should share at least the intensity that went on before we stepped on the air. All these different moving pieces. One person and another person. This another place and this sofa and everything. How is this going to be approached? Text coming in right as you're about to speak. This is all leans into the importance. Now, I think, now here's the great thing about sports talk radio. When a person calls, right, we can all attest to this, we can't tell them what to say. We can't tell you what to say.
Right.
So if you call up here and you want to just go X's and O's, we'll go X's and O's with you. If you want to go, we know where the deep end of the pool is. You guys know when you go to, not the pool like is in the backyard of Tom's house where it's, you know, where it's elevated at three different levels and it has like a reflection at the 20-foot level. But you know how pools will go like 3 feet, 4 feet, 6 feet, 10 feet? We understand not to just go straight from 6 to 10 feet deep based on a call. So that's the difference you're going to get. And it's something that we just have to be cognizant about, not because we're scared or anything like that, is because we're responsible. And that's just what we have to be.
Don't
hear me telling a bunch of jokes, do you, today, do you? You don't hear KJ playing records and stuff like that. You don't hear me saying coming up in 20 minutes, how high? All the features are out the damn window today.
Yeah,
this
we're getting all those
news.
Jokes off the air, unfortunately.
All of them are done, but I'm going to force them to hear them all at dinner tonight. So
perfect. Well, there you go. We await that. And yeah, this was truly one of those throw out the rundown kind of days, which is always very, very fascinating.
Throw out two rundowns, right?
That's right. And now we're here with you at 617-779-7937. Let's go to Barry in New Bedford. Hi, Barry.
How's it going, guys? I worked in the court system for a period of time. I know district attorneys and I know defense lawyers, and I've been around judges my entire life.
Sure.
I will say this. Misdemeanor assault and battery is standard operating procedure. If I shove you to the ground, that's misdemeanor assault and battery. Okay. The fact that a felony strangulation charge was thrown in, I found fascinating, because a lot of district attorneys now will not file that charge because it's you need proof. You need some type of physical proof or witness statements that said it occurred. I found it funny that that was thrown in there. Now, I don't know what's going to happen. His lawyers are being very smart here. You want as much information as you can see sealed off, and you want to kick this arraignment further down the road as you can because it's going to affect your football. It's going to affect your current football state. What I find fascinating is if this team was 8-8 and out of the playoffs right now, my curiosity would be, would he be here right now? Because I don't think he'd, I think they would cut him loose or at least suspend him temporarily until they get the whole thing straightened itself out.
Can I ask Barry something real quick? Barry, have you read?
Barry actually dropped here, KJ.
Okay, so yeah.
But yeah, you can ask your question to us here.
Well, I wonder because he's worked in the court system and so forth. I wonder if he's gone ahead and it sounds like he's read some of the document. And I think that kind of leads into why if I'm the Patriots, I don't have Steph Diggs available for media tomorrow because of there's so much in there. Right. There's so much in there.
Yeah. I mean, at the moment, we don't know. You know, usually the open locker room, the way it works is if the guy is in there, they talk. It's not like a scheduled thing. So Diggs has been in that locker room every Wednesday for the last X amount of weeks. And so that's when the media has been able to talk with him at their locker. It's not typically a pre-scheduled thing when it's an open locker room session. So we're not going to, unless the Patriots release a statement saying that there is going to be specific Diggs availability, we won't know that until we're in the locker room tomorrow.
And I wouldn't even say until you're in the locker room.
I would guess, I would have to guess that he will be nowhere to be found during that time. I just to KJ's point from earlier talking about the importance of the crucial nature of the spreading of information is in a situation like this. Who is saying what? How are they saying it? How are they reacting to questions that are being asked?
Especially follow-up questions.
Exactly. The things that can't be scripted, that can't be accounted for, that can't be run through a representative that are said to him. So I think, Tom, I think you're ultimately right in the sense that Mike Vrabel will come out. He will probably, without even getting a question, come to the podium, probably read verbatim exactly or close to exactly what we saw from the Patriots and their representatives earlier today. And then he will probably end that with, and that is the last that I will discuss this matter because it's an ongoing legal matter.
Yeah, and like this situation is completely different than the video we had of Stephon Diggs in OTAs where he was on the boat. They're not similar in any way.
No.
But just to use that as an example of how they handled that, it was, this is an ongoing matter that's being looked into, no further comment at this time. And when Vrabel was asked follow-ups, anything related to that video, that was essentially his answer. Diggs did have a couple of media availabilities around that when that came out, and that was essentially his answer as well. It was, hey, you know, this is an ongoing matter, and you know, no further questions on, I'm not going to be speaking on that. So I have to imagine that given how much more serious this is, these accusations are, that it will be handled in a similar manner.
Well, that's what makes this the electric fence, right? The invisible electric fence is that there's a felony involved. And when there's a felony involved, you know, you're literally talking about potentially someone's freedom, livelihood at stake. And so just the same way that one is innocent until proven guilty, I think it's also very important to recognize the severity of, I mean, for those who don't know, felony means you're going to jail. And you just don't want to put your foot into the wrong side of comments before any of this stuff is determined. Because again, my biggest thing that I'm thinking of right now, just in terms of today, is how does the NFL make a decision about Sunday's game when tomorrow's New Year's Eve and Thursday's New Year's Day? Do they make that decision Friday? Like, how do you know that? Like, that's the other part of it.
And here's what I wonder as well, kind of separate from the NFL side of that, KJ, because we know that, of course, the NFL has their eye on this, as do the Patriots. Do the New England Patriots consider making a personnel decision this week for the sake of more than anything else, the extra eyeballs that this situation brings on the franchise when the rest of the roster is trying to win a football game? Is there a chance the Patriots make a decision before the NFL has the chance to weigh in here?
Well, I think they've made their decision in the statement that they've made, right? I think you've made your statement as the team of, what is the plan for Stephon Diggs? And you've made that statement at least for today.
Right.
And then I think as you move forward, again, because the NFL is comprised of 30 different teams, they have to have their conversation with the NFL before they can do anything else. So if I'm the Patriots, there's no reason to be proactive to make a move, especially let's just say the NFL doesn't make that move. Then if the NFL doesn't make the move, the Patriots are proactive, then you would ask, why did you make the move if the NFL didn't make the move? I would say let the NFL make a move because you just don't know. When it's a legal matter, you just don't know
right. Until
all the facts of the case have been revealed. And what we just have right now is an allegation and a submitted complaint, right? And that's salacious in itself, but when talking about livelihood and competitiveness of the game, like you mentioned, we're on a sports, you need to follow the chain of command and find out what the NFL has to say and what do they say in 36 hours. I think that's what's so different, because this is falling on a holiday.
Yeah, and I, you know, to the point of whether or not the Patriots are going to change their tune or if a new statement will arise, I think it is important to think about the timing of when the Patriots put their statement out. That statement was released about an hour or so before the documents became public, where we were able to find out more information about these accusations. My gut would tell me that the Patriots were most likely aware of a lot of this stuff, but and you'd have to imagine that an organization isn't going to be putting out a statement that forthright and supportive of their player without really being thorough and knowing, like, okay, this is everything we know right now. But it is interesting or of note that the public record became public about an hour or so after the Patriots put that statement out. So is there stuff in there that makes the Patriots change their tune? We'll just have to wait and see over the coming hours and maybe within the next day or so.
And to look at this situation, just to take a step back for a moment and look at this from the eyeballs of a fan, not only of the Patriots, but of the NFL and somebody who watches this sport and this team every week. I think it's disheartening to see that this has come up in a season where we've had largely nothing but positive things to say about Stephon Diggs, not only from a player on the field in terms of our expectation versus reality, but also as a guy who seemed to be developing into a vocal leader in the locker room, the guy who breaks the team down, the guy who speaks on behalf and speaks on behalf of his quarterback and behalf of his offense and his players. And you bring up that video that came up right at the beginning of the relationship between Diggs and the Patriots. That was one of the first impressions that we had of Diggs during the workout period of the offseason, where his teammates were there, he was not. Then the video comes out, he's on the boat, whatever ends up happening happens. There was the conversation that happened of, oh, there may or may not, depending on the reporting that you believe, have been a meeting between the player and the organization to discuss it and where they're headed from there. And from there, it was pretty much smooth sailing all the way, where he grew into a target that Drake May could trust, a guy who, again, fit into the offense in varying degrees based on what the scheme and the game plan would set. But that's where the conversation was. The conversation was, this guy became a pleasant surprise both on and off the field. And to then wake up this morning and scroll through Twitter and see the report from Boston 25 and then see the specific details coming from the incident report, it just, Tom, it's disheartening to see, just solely from the eyes of a fan, that there was a trust put in from fan base to player and seemingly from organization to player. And now we sit here today and this is the reality.
Yeah. And to your point on the off the field stuff for Diggs, as far as his impact on the team, like, he is the leader of this team. And I know that people talk about Drake May's leadership and how he leads by example, but as vocal leaders go, there hasn't been a guy with the Patriots in quite some time that is the voice of a team the way that I feel like Diggs has been for this team. Mm-hmm. You see him on the sidelines, you hear him in press conferences, you hear the way his teammates talk about him. So that is another angle on this story, where how this plays out over the next few days and will he be a part of the team or won't he? You know, will he be put on some sort of commissioner's exempt list? Like, we don't know yet.
Right.
That is another factor here as far as what this team will be able to do in the coming weeks here, whether they do get the number one seed or if they're in that number two seed spot. So, yeah, it's disheartening for fans. There's no question about it.
I think we also have to be cognizant of there's going to be a segment of the fan base who is going to believe that football should not, a good football team or a great football season should not wash away the issue that's in front of them. And I think we all have to be very careful to not feed or spoon feed these folks who want to say, oh, well, they care more about football than what's being reported in this indictment. So in the document, I'm sorry, let me careful my words. So I don't want to make it seem like, hey, or we should make it seem, I don't think we're doing this. Is there's just this set of fan bases who only cares about the football game on Sunday and if he's going to be available. I think my perspective is that even for those who might say, well, what about the person who's in this document? I would say this. Everybody is due a fair trial. Everybody is due their day. But the thing with Stephon Diggs, he has some type of, what's the word I'm looking for? Answer immediately in front of him that has nothing to do with the case. It has to do with his job. It has to do with his team. It has to do with even when you think about it, the NFL, because they're having games on Saturday, would they be able to make decisions on Friday knowing that they've got competitive things going on Saturday versus a Sunday and the schedule moves? So for me, my biggest concern out of all this for right now, not for overall, but for right now is how do you make a definitive decision in New York about Stephon Diggs' playing time this Sunday when there's only like a day and a half left before you get into a holiday?
So to that point, KJ, I feel like given the gravity of the situation and the status of this player, the holiday schedule is moot. Like they're going to be working the time necessary, regardless if it's a holiday or not, to make a decision. I don't think that, you know, New Year's Day being in the way of decisions.
So I ask you this. Do you think that Stephon Diggs will have the same amount of eyes on his situation as players past have on their situation, right? I think that's the case. It's like, do you want a shadow governing body to determine because a couple of people may be out? Or do you need to bring in the full body of people who make these decisions? Like, these are things I would want to know. If it's a five-person council who makes the decision, but if it's only four or three, then why are not the other two? Like, I don't think that he'll be able to get the right due process from the league in this short amount of time.
I 100% hear you there, KJ. My thought process, and again, I don't know what the day-to-day is at the NFL league office, but like during the NFL season, it's 24/7. They're well staffed and are going to treat this matter very seriously because they are serious accusations against one of the most famous players in the league. So my gut tells me that the fact that there is a holiday and maybe people would typically have that off as a day off, that I don't think that that's going to weigh in here.
Plenty more to get to here as this story unfolds against Stephon Diggs, charged with felony strangulation or suffocation and misdemeanor assault and battery stemming from an incident on December 2nd. We'll continue to discuss this incident, the implications on the Patriots, and we'll take your calls. We got a couple mics and a mark and the rest of you on the line at 617-779-7937. More WEEI Afternoons on the way next.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Back here in WEEI Afternoon, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. You can join our conversation via call and via text. You can also join us both on Twitch and on YouTube. Twitch is at Boston WEEI. If you want to watch along with the show, Dan Ball, Tom Carroll, and KJ Carson with you here on WEEI Afternoons. In for the guys, Hart, Fitzy, and Ted. They are off for the holiday. We are taking you up until 5 o'clock today. We have coverage of bowl season via ESPN Radio coming up at the top of the 5 o'clock hour. Let's go to the phone lines and begin with Mark, who is in New Hampshire. Hi, Mark.
Hello. Happy New Year.
And to you. What's
up? Happy New Year.
Same here.
Hey, so I got a question. So watching the last game, obviously Chisholm got some opportunities that we haven't seen up until now. So I thought it was a little curious for the timing of that. But now looking at what potentially is going on with Diggs, do you think that they're getting him prepared to possibly fill a role?
Yeah, Mark, in hindsight, I think that's what fans might jump to. But given how big this story is, we might forget that Mac Hollins was added to the IR and Kayshon Booty was out with a head injury. So it's right. Like, I get that. And it's now in hindsight, good that Chisholm did get those reps, but that's not why you saw Chisholm on Sunday. You saw Chisholm because of the injuries to the receiving core. With that said, he might have to end up being a really big part of this offense now, especially with Hollins out and potentially whatever happens here with Diggs over the next few days.
Right. That's KJ talking about Hollins being on IR, Kayshon Booty being out, Pop Douglas being questionable going into the game. He ended up playing, but again, his contributions have been limited. And now whatever's going on with Stephon Diggs. So you're talking about a role for a guy in camp who we thought may be an impact player this season. You've seen next to nothing from Efton Chisholm up until last week against the Jets, but that does seem to be a guy who, between injuries and now this ongoing situation, may be playing some snaps that were not expected of the individual a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that. Yeah, Chisholm is not a replacement for Diggs, even if Diggs is not even targeted in a game. We've seen Diggs targeted three times in games, sometimes like, no, Chisholm is what breaks loose, right? The concern that I have is going for defenses, preparing for him, like who do they look at and say, we need to pay attention to this guy.
Right.
And Steph Diggs has been that guy for the last 5 or 6 weeks, for sure. We're kind of waiting for Kyle Williams to catch up, right? So now this is the concern I do have, is it does feel like a little bit of a square one if Steph Diggs is not there, because now you've got to revert back to the things that you've done so well to not depend on. So will it be more Austin Hooper targets, more Hunter Henry targets, right? More the stuff that you know that where Steph Diggs can break a game, get you a key third down at any given moment. You don't feel like you have that if Steph Diggs is not there, whether it be this game or the next game, or God forbid, once you get into the playoffs. So again, like, there's no replacement on this roster that can do what Steph Diggs does. That's just it.
Mike is in Maine on this Stephon Diggs situation. Hi, Mike.
You know, I think that the Patriots should act, and I think they should probably suspend Diggs. And for all the fans that are probably going to come at me when I hang up, you got to think back to how incredibly hypocritical we would look if we were screaming from the rooftops at the Chiefs when they wanted to do nothing about Andy Reid's son because they were on another Super Bowl run. We can't scream from the mountaintops when that happened and then turn around and bury our head in the sand because we want Steph Diggs to make a deep playoff run. I think the team needs to make a statement, come out, say this is not acceptable. There's no way that these charges would have already been brought up since when the incident happened on the 2nd. That means they got their details together, and that means they have a good case. They should suspend them.
Thanks for the call, Mike. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, it's a really interesting point because they came out with a very firm statement supporting Stephon Diggs. And then you have what came out earlier this afternoon, the incident report, and there's some details in there that don't look good for Stephon Diggs at all. So it's a weird spot they've put themselves in. You know, last season, and not to compare incidences, and Jabril Peppers was found innocent of the violent stuff
right.
from his accusations last year. But in that situation, he was added to the commissioner's exempt list, and he did miss a chunk of the season. And again, he was ultimately found innocent of the violent crimes in his case. We're going to have to just wait and see. Unfortunately, that's not like the most interesting radio to hear, but we're going to have to wait and see to see how this is handled by the league and the team, even though they did come out with that forceful, we support our guy statement.
I have to push back a little bit on the Andy Reid comment about his son. One, because it involves his son. Two, that wasn't a he said, she said situation, which this is
a way different scenario.
Way
that's a good call.
Right. So when you have a he said, she said situation, those take a lot longer to get through because people are still available to answer those questions. The situation with Andy Reid's son's victim in that car crash is that a person died in that car crash and that victim could not talk on their behalf of what happened. So I think we really should, because this is what I was kind of concerned.
Right.
When the pool starts to get murky and people start getting, it's like, look, first of all, it's not Andy Reid. It was his son. So yeah, the son was an employee of the Chiefs, but it's not Andy Reid. Two, that was not a he said, she said. This is a he said, she said. And that's what has to be resolved. So the one thing you could say is two people are still living to tell their story, and that's different than with Andy Reid's son's case, where that wasn't the situation. So I think we should really, really be careful. That's why we kind of play gatekeeper a little bit, because, look, people are going to take audio from this station and are going to run it for television programs that run across the country. I'm just going to tell you right now, we need to have our boxers tied up a little tight today, boys, right? Because what is going to be said is going to be used for entertainment purposes or for other reasons. So I think I should probably say that the fan base is not saying, well, what about Andy Reid and his son's situation? No, this is something totally different. Both tragic, but one is a he said, she said.
Absolutely. This situation, the Pepper situation, the Andy Reid and his son situation, all of the different situations that you talk about where a sports figure in any way, shape, or form are involved in criminal charges and anything like that, they are completely independent of one another. So the comparison for the sake of comparison and how we should react is probably not something that's worth discussing. But we'll continue to discuss what's going on, allegations involving Stephon Diggs, wide receiver of the New England Patriots. We'll discuss and we'll reset the information for you, the latest that we know about Stephon Diggs and what's going on with him, and we'll do that next.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.